Welcome to episode 8 of the Paper Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. We've made it all the way to number 8. And I'm joined once again by Mr. Stephen Rudkin. How are we doing?
Good evening, Roger. Yeah, episode 8 already. Incredible. But also, one surprisingly probably that we haven't given up yet doing these, but also it's week 6 just about to start in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true. It's not until you say it out loud and until I begin to realise that it's just going far too fast.
I know, people just 2 weeks ago were talking about quarter poles and stuff, and now already we're into week 6 starting tonight, so it's flying by. And 2 weeks Sunday, we'll be watching our own NFL action at Wembley.
Yes, I'm so excited, I can't wait.
Tickets arrive this week, and
Did you use stamps.com?
I certainly did not. But I tell you what's interesting is there's a soccer ball match going on at Wembley tonight, and you can still see the faded NFL logo, so that's really quite poor from the FA not getting
rid of that. We did talk prior to the podcast about making sure that we didn't go off topic because we wanted to keep this nice and short and sharp and snappy, and already here we are.
But yeah, so week 6 is coming up, and week 5 in the bag already. And another good week of action in the NFL, and a good week of action in the Movistix Fantasy League.
Indeed. Bit of housekeeping, as the usual. I'll like to let you do this, because you're a little bit more professional than I am about it all.
Yeah, but I'm not that tidy around the house, so it's probably better you did it. But just to obviously remind everybody...
we don't live together. I have a wife. You have a girlfriend.
I know.
Put that out on the table and clarify that.
You're saying housekeeping wise. Yeah, that's more your thing. But obviously you can still find us. If you're listening to this, you're smart people. You know where to find us. But we're on iTunes and Stitcher and at pipeandslippers.podomatic.com if you need the website address to find our feed. Also to keep in touch with us on Twitter, which is at pipe_slippers. A few of you guys getting involved there, so that's good. And we ourselves on Twitter at Stephen Rudkin, and the commissioner is at Roger M. Kirby.
That is correct. So now you have to excuse me because we don't have a cough button that's going to cough at some point, so I think I need to put that out there. Excuse me, it's just highly unprofessional, but there we go.
That's all right. I've got a sneeze brewing, I feel, so we'll see how we get through this one.
Just 45 minutes of me and you quoting everyone else's podcast and coughing and spluttering.
I know, we are four minutes in and we've not got to the action yet. So
right, come on, let's do this.
Let's do this.
What happened in the NFL last week? Because I'm completely off the rails.
I don't really know too much about what happened in the NFL, except to say, Go Bias Industries are off and running. Finally,
yes.
Every team in the league has a win. As I've been thinking, my team's improving week on week, and there we are. We took down the footballers by 52 points, and on to this next week where I'll pick up my second win of the season, I'm sure.
Sonny Jim, we'll deal with that later.
Yeah, so happy that's got underway, and that just generally in our league we've still got David still undefeated 5-0 with his very aging roster, who was dubbed by me the most impotent roster at the start of the season, and he sat there 5-0 at top of the table. So that's kind of an overview of where I see last weekend's happening. Just a win for me. And yourself?
I mean, I was disappointed, obviously, you know, to score 95 points and lose. But away from the fantasy, just I think the biggest thing is just the train wreck that the Saints are.
Yep.
And this isn't just because we can maybe shoehorn a gyrus.
I'm not ready for that drop.
You'll have to edit it back in. No, in all seriousness, just look a mess, and I can't quite understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from the fact that I think that Rob Ryan's defenses are made to get after the quarterback and make big plays when the team are ahead.
Yeah.
So they're not a team that, you know, Rob Ryan's defenses are never going to be a contain, you know, sort of Tampa 2, everyone in front. They're all about the big play, you know, and the turnovers, which ironically hasn't happened. But I think that the fact that the offense has struggled and spluttered somewhat,
yeah,
then only goes to highlight some of the deficiencies with the way that Rob Ryan approaches the defense. So that's kind of my take on it, but it feels like there's more to it than that. I just can't put my finger on it. Breeze doesn't look healthy, and now, I mean, Graham was out injured, and, you know, you lose that 1-2 punch. It's like, you know, what's happened to Kenny Stills?
Yeah, and kind of one of his more other go-to guys has moved on in Lance Moore, who was a bit more of a safety guy for him as well.
But Sproles has gone, and
yeah, and a lot of change, I'm guessing, just in that sense, doesn't help things. But I think, like you say, if the offense is not staying on the field long enough and having longer drives and scoring as freely as they used to or would like to, that does put a massive pressure on the defense.
It's built to be on, make a few big impact plays, and then be off, and, you know, let Breeze and stuff, you know, control the clock.
Particularly when you lose your Pro Bowl safety that you spent so much money on, Jairus Byard.
It's still one of the funniest things ever. Have you actually been onto his website, the guy that does it, and listened to some of the other stuff?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you've got to go do it. It's just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And you can spend all day on that.
I'll try some of those drops later on and try them a bit more effectively. But yeah, so the Saints not playing the way they are, and then the other type of things that stood out, one was Monday Night Football. A lot of people have been talking about it as well. Russ Wilson just playing lights out, especially in that first half, and putting in a almost flawless performance. It was quite exceptional.
I know everyone's been raving about it, and you text me straight after that you'd watched it, said it was an absolute flawless.
It was, to start with, it just seemed every decision he was making was the right one, when to run. It was good and clever play design a lot of the time, and he knows when it's right time to read, hand it off, or take it himself. But at the same time, that Redskins defense wasn't, and their linebacking core just really wasn't paying attention and spying on the QB at all, and giving him far too many options to do that. But
I found it all rather ironic, considering that, you know, Jimmy Haslett's still and after watching RG3 for, you know, 2 and a bit years of firing injuries and stuff, but there we go.
That was one.
A little bit of breaking news, unfortunately, not football related. Have you seen the Adrian Peterson? Marijuana use.
Yeah, so that's now. Although they were talked earlier yesterday about trying to get this trial done as quickly as possible so he can try and get back to playing. It seems now that this process could be getting a lot messier.
How do these things come out? I mean, if he's admitting these to prosecutors and stuff like that, is he not... I mean, people are slipping. I guess I've just read a tweet from Ross Tucker saying, basically, don't tell the truth. Anyway, let's move on to something a bit more positive.
Because that's a bit of a mess there. I guess if we go back to the Move the Sticks League, if we touched on it there, I don't know, I can head over to my result and break it down a bit more. It essentially came mainly through Demaryius Thomas coming back into his fold and having what was the biggest fantasy scoring week so far this season of any player, with 34 points.
Absolutely huge. and that could have been over 40 if there hadn't have been the chop.
The chop block there from Julius.
Called
a playback.
Was it played as well?
Picked up the first win there for Gobias Industries. Apart from Demarius, it wasn't great contributions anywhere else, except the Chargers defence with that shutout of the Jets.
I thought the Chargers would win, but I didn't see a shutout.
Two sacks, one interception, and one fumble. So that helped dramatically. And just looking at Lenny's side, his players not, I mean, to score 50, it was just poor, but it wasn't like he had people in there who was inactive or anything. It was a case of the Bengals minus three, Joe Flacco. We watched that game, most of it, the Ravens Colts, and Flacco to pick up
Eugene,
7 points.
Was it Eugene Monroe's left tackle? Yeah. He's injured. And the guy who was replacing him, I'm not quite sure who he was, but Bjorn Vienna was having an absolute field day.
I mean, all the talk that Colts have no rush this year, and they turned up last week for sure.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do tonight against Fitzpatrick and company.
So Lenny drops to 1-4 with two losses in a row. Looking at his bench, not much more. He could have played Cousins over Flacco, but again, not making up that ground thanks to Demarius's huge wink.
Just taking a look at me, I think I was undone really by Calvin Johnson and Calvin Benjamin and Marcus Wheaton scoring a combined 6 points between them, if that. So I was behind the eight ball really after the Green Bay Packers went and did what they did.
22-point defense. Even though your Steelers gave up solid performance against the Jags and 15, so matchup wise, not the biggest discrepancy there. But and then Arian Foster as well, coming back after a couple of weeks where his hamstring was hindering him and putting in a big performance once more.
Steady contributions across the board then. I mean, to get 130 points, invariably you need a couple to go big and then a steady contribution. So, and that, you know, saying that, Torrey Smith only with 3.8, but a comprehensive victory for Tony there, the playmakers.
Ominous performance there from Gronk, with Brady and the Patriots answering their critics, so to speak, this week. They were pumped up and fired up.
I mean, I only saw that uncondensed, but you know, they've got to get him in. I love watching, you know what I said, I love watching Gronk. The guy is just an absolute beast, he's an animal, he's just complete scant disregard for his own body and health. It's just, I mean, God knows, I don't think he'll get through the full 16 games, it'd be a miracle because of the way he plays, but you've got to love watching him play.
Yeah, definitely. So, Tony and the Playmakers, 3-2 with that win. You drop into 2-3, unfortunately.
Chance to get back. Good chance to get back to 500 there next week.
We'll see. We'll see.
Eskimo Brothers and Hooks repeat. I've got up next.
Yeah. So, Anthony and the Eskimo Bros winning out by 29 points.
Yes. Although that would have all been different if Percy Harvin hadn't been. Called back three times.
Yes, indeed. That was something that
burnt you, didn't it?
Burnt me in another division, in another league, sorry, where I was looking for 14 points from him to win and have a 6-0 week last week, in fact. I came away with just a 3 points in the end after those callback touchdowns. So it wasn't to be for Joe as well. And again, you just look at Anthony's lineup, he actually just had solid wide receiver contributions and Gates
had that monster catch down the sideline.
So not getting a huge total again from Stafford in what was a really disappointing game for the Lions there against Buffalo.
It's one of those, isn't it? I mean, every time the Packers seem to open up the door for a couple of other teams there in the north, no one can really seem to grasp it. And then all of a sudden, Rodgers and McCarthy managed to click things into gear, and next minute, you know, you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I mean, looking like the Lions just really so dependent on going through Kelvin, and when he's not right, and it's looking like he's potentially going to miss this week as well.
Is that on Stafford? I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, you look at some of the other QBs and, you know...
He's always been for wanting to just go to him. And
yeah,
you can see him staring
kind of
him
up
down.
There and let Calvin be Calvin. And, and I think the problem is that if Stafford's not able to do that, you wonder how accurate and sound he is in terms of fitting those balls, you know, into the tight windows and where he's got to, you know, lead the receiver into a position where he simply just can't go up it and just out-muscle and out-win it.
I think it didn't also help that Joik Bell was out of the game and Bush isn't quite himself, or wasn't last week, so with no
Bush
real...
hasn't been as quite himself since he came into the league after, you know, supposedly being a superstar and eventually not being drafted number one, but...
No real running game to help balance that attack either. So, but it was still enough for Anthony to take the win. Big contribution by Gates as well, with another two touchdowns there for the old man. So he's moved to 2-3 as well, Anthony. Although he's looking like he's going to be out without AJ Green this week, so his team has been hit by a lot of injuries, but... Green's looking like out this week.
Yeah, I retweeted that tweet that he just put out there for fear of returning and responding to the tweet and somehow managing to stub my toe as I walked up to the laptop upstairs. So, the Anthony curse strikes again.
It certainly has been a busy time with injuries so far this season.
Yeah, I think there's always injuries, but I think when there's a lot of high-profile names, you know, so-called superstars and franchise recognisable, you know, identifiable superstars. I think that always kind of shoves a more of a spotlight on it than, you know, say some of the lesser stars, because clearly it's a part and parcel of the game, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Braxton Smith, Klingbergs.
Yeah, moving on. Carl losing out by 13 points to the Klingbergs with 76. The Zips on a 2-game winning streak to move to 3-2.
Lacey there, really, the big difference maker.
Yeah, 25 points for Eddie Lacey and Bechter. The type of games he was putting in last year. Seems a long time ago now, on a week ago today, on Thursday Night Football.
You know, saying that, Stephen Gostkowski there with 19 points for... Scratching
Snow. Yeah, when your kicker is your top scorer, you probably still are going to struggle.
Yes.
You've got single figure performances by everyone else except Rodgers at the top. So.
Yeah, and he had a funny night because he was almost three and out on every single drive. Yet, managed to rack up a couple of absolutely blistering plays, and the rest of it just seemed to be handing the ball off to Lacey. And
then he got
it was a weird
sit
one.
Down for them. The final part as well, so wasn't enough there for Carl. Didn't help Carl there. Could have done with some garbage time points from Rodgers. So Zip moves to 3-2. Lacey was the key there.
Have you got a? I'm sure there's got to be a choo-choo sound effect going on. 5 no. Choo-choo.
I'll use that one.
I'll have to be me, I'm afraid.
Well done to David's impotent roster. Chalked up another 100 points.
Yeah, I'm now looking at the Peyton Manning drafting number one, thinking, that was a good idea.
Even with two interceptions, he still picked up 30 this week.
Mind you, did he not get points for that tackle?
No. But I did enjoy
it. Flail? Well, I don't know.
He got a minus 2 yard rush as well. So, big performance there from Manning once more. And good contribution at tight end from Greg Olsen, catching just absolute rockets from Cam, the two touchdowns. And
we lost a bit of contact there, just to give you a heads up.
He broke up again, nightmare. Yeah, just saying, so Greg Olsen, two touchdowns, big contribution at tight end. David beating out Danby by 20. Good performance by Luck again with 20 points for Danby. And Lynch putting in solid performance, which was...
Yes, and we'll talk about some of Danby's decisions a little bit later.
I'm sure we'll come back to those. So Danby's 3-2 though, so still going along all right.
Steady.
It just leaves, we've got one more to go through.
Yep.
Hurricanes and Willie.
Yes!
Finally succumbed. And
I know, I needed that one purely for myself, especially with me losing, so it keeps me just clinging on to the potential that I might be able to claim.
I know Wyatt spot. Is delighted to have broken his two
stop
game.
The rot.
Yeah. From winning his first two to losing two and now getting back on the winning side of things by hitting 109 points.
Yeah, I always feel it's a bit tough when you score in the 90s and you end up losing, and you look around the board and see there's teams with 80s and 60s and 70s kind of winning, and it's a bit like... But I guess it's just the look of the draw, so...
I know, I mean, you look at Willie and what else he could have done. His team last week, his bench only had 6 points. They were all even not playing, or so there wasn't much more he could get out of that roster.
You know, you look at the tight end situation where he's got, you know, Vance McDonald, you know, having to start him, you know, those bye weeks really do start pinching a little bit, you know, especially if you're trying to stash players and the rest of it. I know that he's not really, you know, Willie's not really had anywhere to move on that, but it can definitely hurt going forward, as I know across a... Less so in this one for me, but in a couple of the other leagues, I've really felt the pinch of the bye weeks. Because you don't want to drop a couple of the other guys, but you know, especially the tight ends at the moment, I've had to pick up Kobe Fleener a couple of times because he is the only serviceable tight end. Yet they're going to Dwayne Allen more and more.
Sure. So Wyatt winning by 16, big contribution by Andre Ellington. 26 points there, a rushing and receiving touchdown. And also a huge contribution at his flex position with Brian Quick.
Yes.
And a couple of touchdowns there. So I know Wyatt's chuffed with that move, as he's posted already on the message board. But he's also mentioned that he would, anyone interested in last year's most prolific running back, McCoy.
Yeah, I keep thinking about... I actually thought about maybe doing a straight up McCoy Johnson, because I'm so frustrated with Johnson, but I think if they just bench him, get him fit, I might get, and that line is a huge problem for Philadelphia, which I don't think is a quick fix.
No. Lane Johnson coming back, but still too many injuries and holes there. Yeah, some interesting potential trades there if people are interested in McCoy or even Thomas, I think he mentioned on his message. So that rounds out the results from last week. David's still running away with it, 5-0, and everybody's now
just
finally
smashing my hand against the pump. I apologise. It's gone off the completely unprofessional.
It's gone off the rails. Unlike the D train.
Choo-choo!
I can't even find the rundown now. I guess we should move on to the awards.
Yes.
The NFL.com awards that were handed out. Tony and the Playmakers.
I always seem to be coming up against that award.
It's a tough one. Yeah, the Above and Beyond Award, so...
Be any more patronising?
I don't know.
I don't know what it means. Go on. Keep going.
Can't even remember. Outperforming their projections. So you'd have still lost with those 9 points that Tony got above the projections. So, well done to Tony for that one. I get to chomp down on a Snickers bar this week with the most satisfying player trophy for Demarius. Actually putting in the biggest performance of the season so far, and but was nearly, it was a close run thing this week with Russell Wilson as well, 34.24, so only 0.3 behind Demarius there. So I will enjoy that Snickers for that award. The poor lineup decisions trophy has gone to Danby. And 67 points on his bench, which I think we might touch on again in just a bit. So 67 on his bench, 80 in his lineup, so nearly outscored his team there. But never mind.
Brutal.
We're short for time tonight, so we're just cracking on through it. Move of the week nominations. Three nominations again this week for you to decide upon. We've got Zip and the Klumbergs, switching out his tight end this week, dropping Niles Paul, putting in Dwayne Allen, picks up 11 points and contributes to the win, if not necessarily the game breaker, but
yeah,
decent score there. And Niles Paul didn't really do well himself, so good change there. We've got Tony and the Playmakers there doing that move last week to put in the Packers defense against Christian Ponder and the Vikings, scoring 22 points, so decent move there for Tony with the defense. And the final nomination is Wyatt, as he's almost seemed to congratulate himself on the message board, saying it was a good move, putting Brian Quick in as his flex and taking home 20 points there in that position.
Yeah, the thing is that as much as I loathe self-promotion, just joking. Yeah, you can't go wrong with that move, can you? It's fantastic. You've got every right to brag and boast and do what you want when you make that move and put him in your flex and he scores that many points. So I have to say congratulations to Wyatt though.
Good job, Wyatt. Well done. Broke your losing streak and picked up the move of the week.
Yeah, top draw move.
On to the mistake award. I've made a huge mistake award. Three nominations again this week. We've
and
got
two honourable mentions as well.
There are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me and you aren't nominated.
We are absent on this list for the first time.
Come on.
I'm sure one of us will pick it up next week.
Yeah, I'm sure it will turn to one of its two rightful owners.
We'll see if we can keep it over here in the UK, because Danby has got a nomination this week for choosing to bench two players who outscored the guys he put in, but the key one of those being benching Deshaun Jackson before he scored 21 points against Seattle.
Yeah, I can see the logic, but
over, I think Eddie Royal was the guy that went in ahead of him and got 4. And just to add to that as well, benching Rainey in for Crowell.
Yeah, the Crowell one, I'm not 100% sure on that, given the fact that West was back.
Yeah. So
not West.
Tate came back in, so. Yeah, and Rainey having 10 points on the bench as well, so that's why Denby picked up the poor coaching award with 60 points, 21 from Djax and 10 for Rainey after changing him out of the lineup.
I mean, I've got the list here, and there's Willie on there with dropping Stephen Ridley, and we've got Joe. with Russell Wilson and Kendall Wright, but I can't.
You need to move on.
Danby's going to have that. That's there's a lot of points, and as I say,
there's
logic in the Jackson one, but the Rainey one just tops it for me.
Yeah. So, well done, Danby.
There's still 3-2 though, so
yeah, not too bad. Eh?
I'm hardly able to really bash him too much. So.
So he's tied in Division 3. That is three teams all tied at 3-2. With them.
Yeah, it's there seems to be at the moment the Hurricanes and D-Train seem to be the two standout teams, but
yeah,
a couple of sides put together and running a little run together, but there's quite a few teams in the mix still.
Mm.
And I wouldn't rule out the likes of, Fox Repeat Footballers or even those plucky little brothers from down south, the Ergo Bias Industries.
Yes, indeed. Only two games behind first place in my division.
Boom.
So, on to week six, just as we're
hot take
getting ready for Thursday night football, which is the Colts heading to the Texans to start off the week. Just in terms of fantasy wise this week, I think we should just really look forward to our matchups.
Yes.
I say matchups because
three across the
league. We're in six leagues altogether, and in three of them we go head to head this week. So in this one, if we go off projections, currently as we've got our team set, it's 108 plays 104. According to what I see here. We've got quite a few charges, both of us, going against... Oh no, you've got two charges, Rivers, Novak.
Flip-flopping over Rivers and Cutler at the moment. You were talking about, you're a Chargers fan, and you're just waiting for Rivers and Co. to do something stupid and implode.
They've been playing really well. They've been getting wins. They had a shutout last week, which is kind of unheard of. And then you've got people putting them atop their power rankings, and
which is a little bit carried away. I have to say.
So I don't know, Rivers. When it's going good, he's good. When it's going bad, he sometimes looks like he can almost lose the plot a bit.
Looks like a petulant 5-year-old that got told that he couldn't have the sweets.
I know. So if the Raiders can, if any team gets the chance to actually just upset him and trouble him a bit, I think his two bookends are quite key, Dunlap and Fluka. They've remained upright so far this year.
Yeah, and the centre...
they're under their fourth centre, I think.
Yeah, the rotation that's going on there doesn't seem to have killed them too much. I can't remember what podcast it was. I was talking about how, I think it was Move the Sticks, talking about how well the O-line coach has done in terms of, rolling with the punches that have been dealt there at centre. So we shall see.
Just waiting for that moment for them to implode. And it might not be the Raiders, but it's always in the back of my mind. And then, obviously, the other big kind of issue this week is with injuries, and Megatron not looking like he's potentially going to play.
Yeah, hence the reason for me picking up Tate was sort of, to protect myself against that. But I have to say, when I look at your lineup, I am very, very concerned that Julio and Thomas are going to go off.
Yeah.
And I also expect there to be a backlash from Baltimore not quite putting it together last week against Tampa Bay, and you've got Daniels and Smith. I'm a bit worried, I have to say.
Yeah, I've still got potentially a lot of tinkering that's going on with running back wise. Slotting in Andre Williams this week with Jennings going down.
It was a good pickup because I wanted him, but obviously you had waiver priority there. So
you managed to pick Ridley up in that.
Which is nice, but
at the same time, Buffalo, you don't really want to run against that front in Buffalo this week. And also my other running back in Asiata, I don't like him getting charging into that front of the Lions either. So.
And they're going to be in a really, really bad mood after that disastrous result against, I'm pretty sure it was Buddy Ryan got carried off. Jim Swartz. Easy confusion to make.
Yeah, I think Golden Tate kind of had a bit of a comment that just summed that up really, but seemed a bit excessive. I thought.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I think it was meant tongue in cheek, and I think there's other coaches and coordinators that potentially could have pulled that off and got away with it, but he just. He's one of them guys that everyone seems to suggest around the league that he rubs people up the wrong way, and he's rather abrasive. Mm. And
doesn't bode well if it doesn't go well for him in the Bills camp.
No, and I think someone made a really good point. I think it was Ross Tucker said about the fact that from the outside looking in, you know, he's doing what seems like a really, really good job, and especially after the, you know, him taking on Mike Pettine's and. Defense and saying, well, you know, it's going to be difficult to really take on. He seems to have done that.
Yeah.
Hence the reason, is he back in the candidacy when, you know, head coaching jobs come round? But to go and do that, you know, that potentially damages your chances.
For sure. Just kind of one final thing, really, I guess, before we wrap up here, is thoughts on Thursday night football, as it's just about to start the week off this evening.
I don't rate the Colts. But it's still got Andrew Luck under centre.
Yeah, well, we obviously watched that game in its entirety last week against the Ravens, and it just seemed odd. Defensively, they stepped up. Offensively, they still turned the ball over a few times, and I think.
Andrew Luck's a fantastic quarterback, but he's still liable to chuck in it. He's still young. He chucks in the odd, you know. Mental error every now and again.
He's
pretty flawless, to be fair to him, and they seem to be a team that seems to move the ball up and down the field at ease, and then they get into the red zone, and I don't know, I think if you could put, you know, a tall, you know, say for example, you stuck I'm plucking out, you know, superstars, but you chucked a Julio Jones or
any one of the Lions,
AJ Green, and you stuck a dynamic pass catching tight end in there.
Well, that's it. You look at their tight ends, you've got Allen and Fleener, who are basically to try and run Pep Hamilton's kind of Stanford 8-man front running lineup. Yeah. They're heavy blocking tight ends, and they're not pass catching, particularly red zone.
I think that what they need to do is they need to, and I appreciate that there needs to be a balance between, you know, throwing the ball excessively and not running it. But when you look at the way that, say, Green Bay do it with Rodgers, and the way that the Broncos do it with Manning, just, you know, two for example, they get it right.
Yeah.
There's always the threat of the run, because obviously the soft, you got that soft box, so you have to respect that. But at the same time, you've got two exceptionally talented quarterbacks. Put the ball in their hands more often than not.
I think the other worry as well going in tonight, that supposedly both the starting guards are out for the Colts. So just in case you're not sure of their names, because I had to look them up, to be honest, Jack Muhort and Hugh Thornton, the starting guard.
Right, okay. They're not on the Rolodex, I'm afraid, mate.
They're both out, so you wonder just how that Texans.
Yeah, you need to think of the pressure that JJ Watt manages to get, you know, could be coming into those gaps from the inside.
Yeah, he could be looking to go more inside than out tonight.
I picked up with the Colts defense as well. Now you've given me food for thought.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's still Ryan Fitzpatrick, isn't it?
The Colts looked more promising on that side of the ball last week. So. Should be a good matchup, and I almost can't really predict it because we've got these worries about the Colts, and are you then just picking it based on
picked it based upon the quarterback.
Yeah.
Because I think, to be honest, there's not a huge amount of difference between the two teams.
No.
You know, you know, look at the wide receivers. Would you take Andre Johnson and Hopkins over what's on offer and over the... You know, they're much of a muchness.
The only thing is Foster is clearly kind of the best running back in the game, but...
But, you know, looks light years ahead.
Yeah.
I still think he's one of the top 5-6 QBs in the league at the moment.
Yeah, even at the moment, with still on the learning curve as well. So, should be good.
Indeed.
So, that's Thursday Night Football. That's the Move the Sticks Fantasy Football League roundup done for week 5 and looking into week 6. Looking forward to our matchups this week across the three leagues.
Yeah, always enjoyable when we play each other.
It gets a bit tense. Just that added bit of value.
The language on the various ways that we communicate becomes a little bit choice.
Yes, for sure. So, you guys might want to watch out for that on Twitter with... Remember, we're at @pipe_slippers for the podcast. If you do find us on iTunes, please try and rate us and review us. Get us up those leaderboards. See if we can catch up all these high-powered NFL.com podcasts.
Fancy. Fandangled people.
Studios 66, 7, maximum strength thing happening. And, we'll get this podcast up before... Thursday Night Football drops, and...
Well, you will. That's the part.
I'll do my best. And good luck in week 6, everybody.
Indeed.